With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ooh la la, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone.
Hello.
We're here again, episode 4. Can you believe it?
A Fantastic Adventures with Dean and Bertie.
Yeah, can you believe it? Can you?
I can't.
No, me neither.
I'm absolutely astounded.
We're here. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much. We just want to say thank you for joining us for the first 3 episodes. Your support has been lovely. Something we've been really enjoying is when in the morning we see people tweet about it before we've even had a chance to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that it's becoming a part of people's, like, routines, which is lovely.
Which is so sad at the same time.
Yeah, because it's just us chatting shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in your life that you need two white guys to sort of chat about pop culture in your ear, but I am more than happy to fill that void in your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've had a few, we've had 64 5-star ratings.
Wowzers.
4 4-star ratings and 1 2-star rating.
1 2-star rating.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one feels very, very honest.
Very honest.
That kind of hurts a bit.
If it was 1-star, then it would be like, oh, it's a joke. They're being like, overly mean. But 2 stars, you liked something about it. I wonder what it is.
You liked something enough to just to push it over
he
a likes, 1-star.
The audio quality.
They put they just review saying, I like Dean. That's all they put.
I like Dean. No full stop, lowercase.
I like Dean.
I like Dean. Fantastic. But yeah, we're back this week. How does one carve out a future, the future they want? Living your dream and trying to carve out a career and stuff like that. And an interesting guest that we've got on today is star of stage and screen, my friend, Bill Milner. If you don't know Bill, he was in such classics. The Son of Rambo, which to me I think is one of the best like family movies.
It's actually a really good film.
It's incredible. And he was in X-Men First Class.
Which is also a very good film.
Absolutely.
He's the little boy. He's little Magneto.
He's little Neato.
I remember he's like, bah!
Yeah.
With his arms out. And doesn't he make some metal things fly around? I mean, that's Magneto. That's
his
whole
deal. Yeah, he throws spoons at a Nazi or something like that.
He throws spoons at a Nazi.
Nazi Kevin Bacon.
Imagine having that on your CV. Also, Bill has recently finished work on a new fancy shiny Netflix movie called Apostle. It's made by the Raid and Raid 2 director, Gareth Evans, and also stars Dan Stevens and Michael Sheen. So Bill is going to tell us about that.
Something I'm very interested in, and I think what will be quite beneficial for those listening with Bill, is that he is an actor and he's had a very, very interesting career starting so young and continuing up until now. I think for those who want to get into the arts and want to maybe pursue a career in acting or anything in that sort of field, I think Bill will have some interesting insight and wisdom and stories to share.
Yeah, incredibly. He's going to be a very inspirational person, which is going to bring out so many insecurities in me. So if I take the piss out of him, it's my fault. It's all me. Just blame me. It's nothing to do with Bill. He's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm weak.
Yes, he is. Yes, you are, Dean. Yes, you are. What's been going on in your life, in your world?
I have been busy preparing for Summer in the City.
Ooh.
If you don't know what Summer in the City is, it is a YouTube convention that happens in London. It's, I guess, the biggest YouTube convention in London. I think it might be the only one, but either way, it's pretty great. It's the 10th year of it, which is pretty crazy. 10 years of it.
And it started as just like 3 people and a packet of crisps in a field.
Yeah, basically.
And now here we are.
Yeah, and it's...
5 people.
Now it's 5 people in the XL in London. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the Saturday of Summer in the City, me and Jack, my comedy partner, we are performing. We're closing the night. We're going to do Jack and Dean Live, which is... We've gone too ambitious, mm-hmm. basically. It's been a thorn in my side for about a week now, but an enjoyable thorn.
Yeah.
It's one of those I'm sort of twiggling about on it in the open wound and going, I kind of like it, but also I should probably stop.
Yeah.
But it's good. There's going to be a band, so we've been sorting that out. Trying to be not cringy, because we're not rock stars.
Mm.
We're not Jimi Hendrix. We're not musicians?
What are the rock stars? No, it's just Jimi Hendrix, I think. That's the only one.
Yeah, just Jimi Hendrix, that's it.
I can't think of any more.
But yeah, no, we've just been doing that, really.
Nice.
And it'll be cool to just sort of celebrate 10 years of Jack and Dean. I didn't say that. It's 10 years of Summer in the City and it's 10 years of Jack and Dean.
It's mad.
It'd be cool to be really self-indulgent for half an hour.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I look forward to it. Good luck. In the theme of the future, they've just started filming Star Wars Episode 9.
Crazy.
Today.
I can
and that's
feel...
coming out in the future.
Yeah,
it's coming. Set in the kind of.
You got it, Bertie. You got it. You got it in the theme there. Don't worry.
Okay, future.
The film is coming out.
Future.
The film is coming out in literally a year.
Yes.
Well, a bit more than that, maybe.
Oh yeah, Christmas.
Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas.
It's coming out. Star Wars Episode 9 and a Christmas.
Yeah, my favorite Christmas movie.
But yeah, no. It's
filming it.
I am. I won't lie. I'm such a little bitch for Star Wars that when they released that little press thing, it was enough to get me excited.
Yeah.
Because there's some interesting bits in that announcement.
There's a cast list out
there. Yeah, there's Kerry Russell from J.J. Abrams' Felicity.
Yes.
The only story he's ever finished.
Yeah, and she's also in, I believe, when she was a kid, she was in Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
And I believe she came to my 8th birthday party, I believe.
Well, if you...
Even if that's not true, that's what I'm going to tell people.
You believe it. So, yeah. And that's what life's all about.
Exactly.
You just need to believe in yourself, Dean. And then Richard E. Grant.
Pretty cool.
Richard E. Grant from Spice World and...
Other
proper things.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, doesn't he play the agent? No, what does he play?
No, yeah, he's the Spice Girls agent.
He's the spicy agent.
He's the spicy agent. Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Is he a villain in it?
I don't know.
Does he like fuck them over?
No, I don't know if there is a bad guy in the Spice World movie. We're going to have to do a whole episode about the Spice Girls movie.
Okay,
but
we'll do it. Spice
I
World.
Forgot that Richard E. Grant is in that.
Richard E. Grant, yeah.
He's in Game of Thrones. Let's class him up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Charles Dance, who plays Tywin Lannister in Game of Thrones, is in Ali G in the House, and he does a little dance in some lovely sexy lingerie.
Yes, he does. Yeah. I forgot about that.
So you know what? I love when thespians are in, like, sillier stuff.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with that.
But yeah, Richard E. Grant sounds like a pretty awesome, a Richard E. great choice for the movie. Don't laugh at me.
Richard E. great.
Richard E. great.
Richard E. fantastic.
But yeah, no, but we...
He'll be good. He makes perfect sense.
And he makes, yeah,
he's
perfect
so excited
sense.
About it. He did a tweet about it saying...
Did he really?
Yeah, he was like, I can't believe I'm in a Star Wars film.
That's crazy.
That. Yeah.
I hope he isn't playing a villain. I feel like it's too easy for him to play a villain. But we also know that he's absolutely going to play a villain.
I would love to be surprised. And that's the thing. The beauty of this new film is that I have no idea what to expect. I can't picture it.
Yeah.
Because with The Last Jedi... It was like, okay, well, Rey's going to train with Luke. We've got a rough idea. We know everyone's going to get scattered about this new one. No idea. The main villain's gone. Like,
well, he wasn't the main villain.
But I guess he was.
That was the point, wasn't it?
Ooh!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, neckbeards.
Oh, sorry. Necky boys. Mark Hamill.
Is back.
Is back, and they're being very upfront about that.
So peculiar to do that. Because you've already listened to the podcast. I mean, sorry guys for spoilers, but Luke Skywalker, he fucking dies.
He died. He popped his clogs.
He popped his clogs.
Daddy's hat fell off.
He faded away like a paracetamol.
Yeah.
And he went, that was it. But he's back, I guess.
Yeah.
It's very interesting for them not to just leave that as a surprise. But then again, if he comes back as a Force ghost, it's not like we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I mean, they would have kept it a secret if it weren't for the backlash. I'd hate to be cynical.
What backlash?
I hate to be cynical.
What do you mean? It's been two fantastic movies in a row.
Yeah,
everyone's loved it. Everyone's rejoiced.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's been enjoying these, like,
won the World Cup and everybody loved The Last Jedi.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like, I think... I hate to be cynical, but I think there's probably some course correction going on.
I'm kind of terrified.
I think getting JJ back is a very, like... is a safe sort of bet. He's a good pair of hands, and everyone, even though, I don't know, The Force Awakens came out, everyone loved it, and then 6 months later, a bunch of edgelords made some videos about it, and a handful of people were like, no, it's actually shit.
Yeah.
But it wasn't quite the same scale as The Last Jedi, to the point where I think them making a point of saying, Mark Hamill's back, he's in it, he's not actually dead.
And Lando's back.
Lando's back.
Here's going to be my first controversial opinion about Star Wars.
Go on.
I forget Lando is in it.
Bro, same.
Every time they mention Lando, I'm like, oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy who wears Han Solo's clothes.
And I just can't deal with them periodically killing all the old cast every movie.
It's one of the weirder things. I mean, I guess this is sort of the future, because a few years ago, Luke Skywalker was alive and well.
He was. A year ago.
It was a bloody mystery what he was doing.
Yeah.
I never thought about it because it was finished.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now I've seen Han Solo be murdered by his son on a bridge.
Yes, yes, you have.
I've seen Luke die as a symbol.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he didn't die happy.
No. No, he didn't. He died exhausted, sweaty.
He died accepting his biggest regrets ever.
Sweaty on a rock.
Sweaty on a rock.
Yeah.
Alone. With some fish nuns.
Absolutely.
So, and
some merchandise.
And he probably
birds.
Never held anyone's hand. I don't think the only people he's kissed are his sister, I think. Honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless they bring in Mara Thingamabob.
Mara Jade from the Extended Universe.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
I don't know. I'm very curious. I'm very interested to see, because I can't think of like another time where the backlash came about at a point where they probably had most of the film in place, but they had just enough time to maybe tweak things and like win people over again. Because again, Solo didn't do that well at the box office, and if this film isn't the most like audience crowd pleasing thing, I don't know, man.
It's weird, isn't it?
Maybe Star Wars is
Force Awakens, they said, oh, it's too similar to what we knew before.
Yes.
Then Last Jedi went out of its way more than maybe most of us expected to do something a bit different. We went, all right, not that different. I love how Star Wars has the ability to bring our highest highs and then our lowest possible lows.
It's such an interesting, and it's sort of, it's timeless in its the way it's like risen, the way it's succeeded and also failed. In
so strange, isn't it?
It's so fascinating.
I mean, more than half of them are bad.
More than half of the Star Wars movies are
bad. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I still love them. Yeah, and I've watched all of them multiple times.
It's so strange.
And on that note, let's dive headfirst into the future with Bill Milner.
Bill, I think we should do some housekeeping.
Ooh,
how do we know each other?
We met about a year or two ago.
Yeah, yes, we did. We got a burger.
Which we'll probably get to Bertie's eating habits later on.
Yeah, disgusting little troll eating habits.
The thing that Dean and Bill can share is making fun of me and how ridiculous I am and how I eat like an animal.
You're absolutely disgusting.
Not even like an animal. I think that's rude to animals.
Yeah. I think like a lion somewhere went, what was that?
Yeah. Excuse me?
Yeah. I eat like a dung beetle or something. Something, a lesser sort of organism.
Okay, you've offended animals and then
a beetle
dung
somewhere
in particular.
Sorry, guys, look, I'm offensive, okay? That's my brand of humour. If you don't want it, you can get out.
Very good.
But yeah, so I think we've been following each other on the internet, on social media for a while.
Yeah, I'd been watching your videos on YouTube when you were like doing vlogs from your toilet.
I didn't even know that far back.
Yeah, when you had like really moody sort of purple lighting, or maybe that's how you graded it. I watched those days.
Oh my gosh, and you've stayed with me.
For some reason.
Oh my gosh. I have. Well, thank you, Bill. And obviously I was familiar with your work. The funny thing is though, the most recent thing I'd seen of you when I met you was iBoy. iBoy is a film Bill did about a year ago. And in that film, you have like an East London accent. And when I met you, I didn't know if that was your accent or not. Like, I didn't know if you were going to talk in this kind of RP that you kind of talk.
I don't even know what my accent is. I think it changes all the time.
It's just Bill.
You've shoved a mic in front of me, so now I'm being really polite.
Well, hello there, my name's Bill.
Welcome to the show. Cool. Well, yeah. Well, thank you for being my friend. I'm not good at making new friends. And you're one of the friends most recent friends I've made.
I'm really good at making new friends, so okay. I'm probably going to put our relationship on me. I'm gonna take.
Should we give a round of applause for Bill?
Thank you. Thanks so much.
So making new friends. So generous.
Yeah, such a good person.
With my time, with my time,
right now doing this podcast.
Yeah, I don't want to be here. It's just because we're friends. I just touched you and
no, it's okay, and I appreciate it.
Okay,
thank you.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was very nice. Okay, so I mean, we'll start with. The biggest break for you was Son of Rambo in 2007, which is, we were talking about this yesterday. I think it's genuinely one of the best like family films. I think it's so good.
Thank you.
It's good for the soul.
It's so good for the soul. It's so wholesome, but also there's like more adult stuff that's kind of beneath the surface that I think I picked up on when I watched it more recently. And that was 2007. How old are you now? I'm sorry to keep...
Like, yes, all right.
Putting in perspective.
I was 11, 12. I think we filmed it the summer of 2006. It's now the summer of 2018. Mm-hmm. So 12 years ago, I'm now 23. That math all adds up.
Yeah,
that works.
Yeah. Few.
That's crazy though, like that you're in a film when you're 11. I just got like coal sores and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just played with bionicles.
Yeah, I just played with bionicles and got chaps on my lips.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird to look back on.
And for those who haven't seen Son of Rambo, can you recap?
Okay, it's been a while since I last saw Son of Rambo.
Yeah.
I was in it, so I do know that much, but I was 11 and I feel like memories from when we were 11 are probably a bit ropey.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give this my best shot.
Yeah.
It is about a boy in the 80s who is growing up Plymouth Brethren, which is a sect of Christianity. And one of their beliefs is that they don't sort of intake modern media. I'm not sure, people on Twitter can correct me on this. Anyway, so my character, Will, doesn't watch TV. And at school one day, he kind of gets involved with the wrong crowd, or rather the wrong boy. Lee Carter, who in his spare time makes bootleg movies, and they strike up this unlikely friendship, and they together try and make this film for a competition back in the 80s called
Screen Test. Why do I know that?
Were you in the film?
Yeah, yes, I was as well.
Hilarity ensues.
Who played your mum in the film?
An actress called Jessica Stevenson, I think, was her name at the time. And since got married, and it's now Jessica Hines.
She's now Jessica Hines.
She's very, very lovely.
She's crazy. She's, like, one of the greatest people I've ever met, I think. Like, there's literally nobody else who's quite like Jess Hines, honestly. For people who don't know, she was in Spaced. She's in Son of Rambo, as you've just learned.
But most importantly,
I got drunk with her in a Wetherspoons in Watford, which was really, really fun.
Yeah.
We were filming season two of Jack and Dean of All Trades, which you can't watch anywhere anymore. Sorry. That fart was funny. I like that.
Thank you.
That was Bertie's fart from his actual bottom.
That was Yes,
he got up, stood on his chair. Yeah. That's your mic from now on.
Yeah.
Someone get a marker.
Get some tape.
I sat in this Wetherspoons with her, and we just talked about life. She asked me a lot of questions. It was very much she was interviewing me, and I was just sort of giving my life story. But it was very, very nice. She shared stuff about Spaced, and I was like,
love that show.
Yeah, it's so good.
What's that? There's a Jessica Hines story you've got where weren't you like, it was like almost like a sitcom. Weren't you getting changed behind a curtain, and she was on the other side of the curtain, and she didn't know. She didn't know you were there. And wasn't she having a chat with someone? And she was like, that Dean's a bit weird, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, Dean's a bit weird. But in a positive way.
Of course.
She meant it nice. She was like, it's very interesting, isn't
it? Creepy Dean.
Yeah.
Creepy Dean. While you were putting your trousers on.
Yeah, I was like, I felt more exposed than I'd never heard anyone like talk about me. Because you think to yourself sometimes, do people talk about me? Like, you know, do people do that?
Yeah.
So
to hear an actor from something a show I really loved talking about me, but in a positive way. But to be the first initial seconds of that, when she went, that Dean's a bit interesting, isn't he? I went, here we go.
Oh my God.
Like, I was sat there, I've got my boxers on, I'm feeling quite exposed.
Yeah. It was in a church, wasn't it?
It was in a church.
It was in a church.
You were in your boxers in a church.
And Jessica Hines was talking about
on
you.
On purpose.
And then didn't you emerge and she like clocked that you clearly heard?
Yeah. Hello. Hello, Dean. Just getting changed, Jess.
Yeah. What have you been talking about?
She liked me.
I feel you have more exciting Jessica Hines stories than I do, because I was 11.
How was life after you did that? What happens when you do a brilliant movie? Do other brilliant movies happen immediately afterwards? What happens? Do you just sort of...
I remember getting cast in Son of Rambo, and for some reason I was like a really level-headed and either pessimistic or realistic
kid.
I was thinking, it's going to go straight to DVD. No one's ever going to see this. But it was a brilliant summer, best summer of my life. I made the best memories. I'm going to go back to school, get my GCSEs, because that's the only important thing in your life.
Yeah, of course,
time.
Yeah.
And move on. And that was just a really nice summer holiday, a nice hobby that we had. And then it went to Sundance that winter, summer, whenever it is. Went to Sundance during Sundance. And kind of blew up.
What do you do with yourself when a movie blows up and sort of runs away without you, in a way?
Yeah, I really didn't know what to expect. I had an agent and, you know, I was doing some auditions, but really, if I never worked again, I don't think I was going to lose any sleep over it, because I genuinely thought that was my one sort of
wow
little moment doing film. And then I think a year later, maybe the next summer, I did a film called Is Anybody There? And it kind of kept happening like that, that every summer or every, you know, I do an 8 week stint here or 5 weeks stint here, I just pick up a, you know, a few days on a set or, you know, a couple weeks on a set.
At what age did you start sort of taking acting more seriously and start seeing it as more of a potential career?
I think I was fortunate enough that from the ages of 11 to 16, I was aware that it was a hobby and something fun that I could do. And I was fortunate enough that I was able to go on sets. And then when I got to 16, there were various different things that happened that made me decide that I wanted to really give it a good shot and, you know, pursue it as a career. I still was going to sixth form college and I carried on going until I was about 17. Then I dropped out. you know, because it gets a lot harder. I remember getting really down and sad about not getting roles. And I think a lot of actors do that. They sort of beat themselves up. Particularly at a young age, it's so easy to sort of think, this is the be-all and end-all, I'm not going to act again, and really no one cares and it doesn't matter and you've got all your life ahead of you. But it was that sort of competition and drive that actually made me go, no, if I take this more seriously, I can maybe make a go of it. But I was still, for some reason, as a kid, I was still very realistic about knowing that this more than likely is not forever. Mm. And you're gonna struggle at some point.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Right, Bill, I've got a burning question for you. Are you ready to answer it?
Yes.
How do you get in the part of young Magneto happen?
Ooh, that's a... through an audition and the sort of normal way of getting roles. But the interesting part of that audition process was that Eric Lenscher, who then becomes Magneto, was, I believe, Polish and speaks German in the film. I don't speak German, but my German teacher does.
Ooh.
So I remember going into secondary school and just asking her to go through this monologue that they'd provided me.
Right.
Turns out that the monologue they gave us was grammatically horribly incorrect.
Oh, really?
Wow, interesting.
So not only did I come in and read the words that they'd given me, I had actually improved their grammar.
That's amazing.
And when the film came out, I showed a clip to a German friend of mine. She said I sounded Swiss, which I feel is geographically closer and therefore better than sounding English.
It's good enough.
Pretty good actor.
Bill
Milner.
In fact, if
good
any
actor.
Germans are listening to this, please tell me how I sound, because I'm actually really curious.
That's interesting.
What? Right.
Of course you spoke German in it. I completely forgot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's bizarre. I don't remember that. With Kevin Bacon also speaking German.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It was, I mean, I've got to share this anyway, because X-Men First Class is in my sort of, in my memory, because I went to a date at a cinema and I got stood up and I can't remember. It's okay. So it was years ago. I can't remember what film we were going to see, but obviously when I realized this lady was not coming, I was like, oh, I get to pick the film. And I was like, X-Men. I was like, yeah, I could do X-Men. Sod it. And all I can really remember is your scene from it. And you going, there you go, you almost did it.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. There you go, brilliant, love
I've learned that's maybe the only thing I'm good at acting as is screaming.
It's screaming.
Yeah, I've done quite a few roles recently where I'm just roaring.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you sent me that picture.
Zero range.
I have sent that picture of you screaming more than once. Yeah. I think I've sent it to you before you're even friends with Bill.
Probably. Wow. So, probably. Like, yeah. Yeah. What did you do? You threw a coin at him. What did you do? I can't remember what you did. Spoons? Was it spoons?
No. He was trying to get me to move a coin.
That's right.
Because he knew that I had these powers.
He wanted to exploit
them. And I literally couldn't because I hadn't been able to harness my powers yet. Or rather, Magneto.
You didn't have a helmet yet.
Yeah. I hadn't been able to.
Was that required for the role? Or
the helmets.
Oh, sorry.
The helmet's for protecting against Professor X's mind reading abilities.
Jesus sorry, Christ, guys. Bertie, what are you doing?
Sorry.
But then when he gets angry and his, you know, emotions come out, that's when his powers, he was first able to sort of harness.
Because he got so pissed off by Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, it's like, stop asking me to move this coin, Kevin.
Yeah. Maybe I'm getting this wrong. Didn't Kevin Bacon shoot your mum or something
yes.
like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
That'll
was
make you pretty angry.
My mom!
Yeah. What's the German for my mom?
Oh gosh, I don't even remember that. Mum?
That didn't sound German, but that's
no,
fine.
No.
It sounded Swiss.
It sounded Swiss. Very nice. Nice. What was it like working with Matthew Vaughn, if you remember?
I remember him being really lovely. And, you know, I think for a 16-year-old to come onto a set of... That was the first time I'd been on a big sort of Hollywood-style set.
Yeah.
That's quite nerve-wracking. And I remember feeling sort of welcomed and sort of respected for, you know, also doing a job. I think often when you're a kid, you can sometimes feel like you're seen as like just another prop, like another thing, then let the adult actors, you know, do the impressive bit of acting. But I remember coming onto set of X-Men and actually feeling like they, you know, liked what I was doing and they enjoyed sort of working with me as opposed to just using me. It was definitely a sort of I remember it being a good experience, but it was quite brief.
Well, it was one of the best scenes, so do not worry.
I agree.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Michael Fassbender.
What are you doing? Yeah. Assassin's Creed? I saw it. Cringe.
Didn't even see it.
Sips his tea.
Yeah.
Bill, give us some insight into the honest side of acting. I don't know, what's that like as a kid and just in general, like, trying to stay afloat as an actor must be tricky.
Yeah. If anything, starting off as a kid was a blessing because I had savings. Mm. I don't think, able to touch that money until I was at least 16, probably 17, 18. And I think if I had tried to move out and pay rent in London and started acting from 18, I think the jobs that I've done financially I wouldn't be able to. So I'm very fortunate there. I think sometimes people can get a view of actors earning a lot of money, but in all reality only 5% of actors at any one time are ever in employment. And
yeah.
Most of those that we are thinking of are people like Jennifer Lawrence, who, yes, get paid millions, but also what I think a lot of people don't understand is they're cast in roles because financially they bring money to a project because they can guarantee it. So you cast someone because they can guarantee 15 million to your budget. Mm-hmm. So I often find when people kind of complain or moan about casting in films, that they don't actually realize that sometimes producers' hands are a little bit tied. Maybe there is an actor that is 10 times better than the person that is cast, but they financially don't bring enough money to the project. I think a lot of people get this idea of all actors get paid a lot. And actually, in all honesty, per week, I probably do get paid a lot more than most of my age group. But that said, I haven't worked since April, and that was 3-4 months ago. So I kind of do need to get paid 2-3 times as much just to scrape by, honestly. So that's something that I'm still learning to do now. And a lot of people I know, including myself, find other ways to make money. You know, whether it's just like a normal bar job or, you know, you might help someone out at a shop or
lemonade stand.
Yeah, or you know, do a podcast.
Oh, a podcast.
So yeah, it's those sort of things.
We're
that
not
I'm
doing
still...
this for money. What are you talking about?
I'm still learning. I'm still learning to sort of balance the books, as it were. And the scary part about, I think, any part of self-employment is you don't really know where your next paycheck is coming from or how big it's going to be. I feel like you need a little bit of blind faith in that you just have to think, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's coming. You know, like, at what point do I go, oh, it's not happening? Like, I haven't worked since April. It's now August. Do I get to next month and go, it's not for me? Throw in the towel. Do I get to April next year and go, it's been a whole year and I haven't earned any money. I am now having to sell my organs to live. You know,
yeah.
Have you sold an organ? What have you sold?
I haven't sold any organs yet, but I think...
I'm looking.
Which one?
If you're selling...
I'm only
if you're selling, I'm buying.
Liver, spleen, kidney.
Mate, I've not got enough spleens, honestly.
He's got the works.
So could I get a spleen?
I can give you a spleen, but...
Sick.
Great.
Well, then, there you go. That's sorted then.
So, yeah.
That's month's rent.
There you go. That's my month's rent. And yeah, I'm getting by.
Yeah. Well, it's tough. You're young.
That's the other thing. You have to appreciate that. Yeah, you are young, and actually, a lot of 22-year-olds right
not
now.
Not as young as me, but yeah.
Right. I also think.
Well, when you're my age, no. But a lot of 23-year-olds are coming out of university right now with a heap ton of debt.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tories.
Yeah. I mean, I think what you were saying about that the time in between roles and stuff, or you going, how long do I wait until I go, maybe I need to, I don't know, do something else or try something. There's a weird level of optimism there, isn't there? Because you're like, how long do I want to stew in potential misery in hopes that something cool is going to happen?
You need it.
It's like hope, but is it hope?
You don't want to be blindly optimistic.
Yeah.
But also to be so, like, relentlessly cynical and almost, when the good stuff comes, not even thinking about it and not even celebrating it. So you want to sort of balance, but it's hard.
But Bertie, you'll know how off-brand being relentlessly optimistic is for me.
Oh, I know. I know.
I don't do that.
No, you don't.
And I've been very close in the last few weeks to just going, can't do this anymore. But then the other reality is I left school when I was 17 with one A-level. I don't really have any other direction to head in.
Mate, I don't have a GCSE in math. So,
yeah.
Producer Paddy does it either. Nice.
So let's all hold hands and hope for the fucking best. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why. So I've been thinking, you know, what else can I do? And I think that's a real,
it's a good,
honest conversation to have with yourself. Definitely. And I realised that it still is all film related, which is an industry that is notoriously very unreliable.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe I'll never act again, but maybe I'll get a job in the art department if, you know, I can get around. But then I'm still struggling trying to find the right role as an art department.
Did I tell you when me and Bill, I've kept going on about it. We did a short film together.
You do keep going on about it.
I keep going on about it. It's going to come out.
Thwomping Grounds.
Thwomping Grounds. But yeah, did I tell you that, like, not for any, like success reason or whatever. I was doing, you know, for my age, I'm doing fairly well making short films or whatever. But before Thwomping Grounds, I felt like I hadn't really proved myself in a while. And before making it, I very seriously thought, if this doesn't resemble the film I wanted to make, I might give it up and try something else. I was like, you know what? This has got to be not a last-ditch effort, but like, I need to look at this and feel like there's some growth there, or else, I don't know.
I can understand that.
That was the most, like, I've ever had that kind of thought process.
I can understand that.
I'm very optimistic.
Bertie, you are, how old, 20, 21?
21.
You can still go to film school with the amount of work you have under your belt.
Yeah.
You'll walk into any film school and then scores of stuff that you wouldn't.
No,
have.
Exactly.
Anyway, so you do have to sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know,
you need to
be nice to yourself and kind of go.
But also give yourself a reality check.
It's all right to fail because there are still so many options.
It's true. I want them to do like a RuPaul's Drag Race style reality show, but for filmmakers. And then I'll compete.
Oh, man.
I think I'd do quite well.
You've all got to make a film about a thing.
Yeah, every week. Or I could host it. I could be the RuPaul of D-list YouTube filmmakers.
I could see it now, though. I could see the host going, okay, so social issues are big right now. So you need to make a 15-minute movie covering a social issue.
Yeah.
And then, like, these contestants who are, like, sort of, like, half filmmakers I don't know.
Realistically, if this was a YouTube competition, who would be hired to present it?
I don't know.
Let me think.
Who's... and imagine there's still a runway. There's still, like, a fashion part of the show.
Just holding a big... a monitor over your head, and you're doing a kind of like ring girl style walk whilst
and
showing
talking
your film.
Over
we've got
it,
we've got Christopher Nolan here to judge. Yeah. So they're doing it to like the walkway
he's
thing.
Like, yeah, he's like, I thought it was shit.
Thought it was bad.
Yeah,
that's it.
Thought it was cringe.
No, and when they eliminate people, they go cut.
Oh, very good.
Oh, that's well good. Nice.
Let's do it, guys. Let's do it.
Speaking of Chrissy Nolan. Did you meet him when filming Dunkirk?
Chrissy boy. That was a really great experience, actually. Yeah. I had auditioned, like many boys in our sort of age group, for a role on Dunkirk. We didn't really know what it was. And everyone from Harry Styles to Bill Milner went to these auditions. And... I didn't get the big role or any of the big ones, but I got a call a few... It's going to get emotional. I didn't get one of the roles, but a few weeks later, my agent called up and said, the team from Dunkirk have asked if you would come in and do this role. It doesn't really have any lines, but the reason they're casting... actors with a profile or any actor from the UK is that all the extras were French because it was filmed in Dunkirk. Right. And if they did suddenly want a featured extra to have a line, that person couldn't have a French accent.
Interesting.
Right.
I was essentially asked, do you want to do 2 days in Dunkirk? We don't really know what you're going to be doing. You've got a small sort of scene, but it's pretty like... the cuff. And of course I jumped at the chance. Christopher Nolan's one of the directors who kind of ever got me into film. I started watching obviously the Batman trilogy and are you supposed to say Dark Knight? People word it differently.
We know it. To be honest, in our eyes, no other Batman movies happened after
pretty
the Dark Knight Rises.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes. So I grew up watching those Batman films, and after we'd watched them, we kind of thought, oh God, what's next? There's nothing else ever good. So I went back through Christopher Nolan's films, and it was Memento that was one of the first films that I watched that made me think, oh my goodness, you can make a sort of blockbuster style superhero movie and make this very intelligent indie film.
And
he kind of opened my eyes to all sorts of filmmaking. So of course I jumped at the opportunity to spend 2 days in France on a set. And the first day I got to set, I was sat in my trailer and I sat there all day. didn't move. And I kind of thought, you know what, this is what I expected. It's a huge film with thousands of moving parts. You know, they're not going to be able to just accurately get to every point. Also, Hoyte van Hoyte?
The DP.
I don't know how to say
I have no idea.
He worked with all natural lighting, and I didn't realise that the scene that I was shooting was sort of in this pre sort of golden hour style lighting. So it was obviously very specific when they actually wanted me on set. So I started the first day in sort of base camp with a bunch of other actors who I admire, and they were really nice, and we had a nice time. And then day two, it was just all of a sudden, Bill, all right, come with us down to set. And it was all in a rush, you know, go, we want you there, this is what's happening, we're dressing the set like that. Because, they were just shooting back and forth. Hoyte would just get the camera on his shoulder and they'd shoot it, then next. And they were moving so fast. And the one person that never at one point seemed to sort of run, feel flustered, was Christopher Nolan. He was moving pieces of set himself. He knew that, oh, guys, we don't want this, this shouldn't be dressed like that. He would just be chucking stuff out the way. It was kind of
very hands-on.
Incredible.
Yeah, and I always wondered how hands-on he would be.
Very, very hands-on. He's basically I think it's also the way he directs. He has a monitor around his neck and no one else has one. So he knows everything that is relevant on set.
Interesting.
To do with the shot. And when he feels he gets it, he moves on. So it moves very fast, but it's at Chris's pace. But I really loved it. I think if that was my first time on a movie set, I would have cried and broken down. It was quick. But because I kind of knew and I thought, okay, he's panicking about this. Well, he's not panicking, but he's worried that this lighting is going to go.
Yeah.
We've got to get it.
So exciting.
I kind of did. It was really
it's
exciting. I got to go. I got to get that scene. I don't want to be the one to mess it up. Can we cut? Bill's done the walk wrong.
Bill's having a nosebleed again.
He doesn't even have a line and he somehow managed to mess this up.
Yeah, Bill's slowing down the production on the Nolan movie. Yeah. The new Nolan movie. Bill!
Whoops!
And Chris Miller's like, fucking Bill!
I know, Chris! I'm sorry! But the... the funny thing is that people often ask me, if I go to like an interview or something, people will ask about Dunkirk, what it was like to be on Dunkirk. And I think a lot of people who maybe didn't really do their research or didn't really know a great deal don't realise that. I don't have a line. I am in two shots maybe on screen for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So I always find it a bit funny kind of going like, yeah, it was quite interesting being there. I must either look really casual or like I don't care at all, just like, yeah, whatever. But it's because I feel like a bit of a fraud talking about my...
No.
I like doing it here because, you know, I can talk about it honestly, but in an interview, you can just seem like a bit of a wanker being like, oh, when I was on set of the Chris Nolan film for two whole days.
I love how you and me were at the premiere and we saw Bill on screen. I had no idea you were in it. And I texted you and you were like, oh, it's a premiere today.
Bertie texted me from the premiere of the film I was in, informing me that I'd made the edit because I didn't even know if I had made the cut.
It's amazing. You're in a movie called Apostle. What is it?
This is the first time I've sort of spoken about it on a thing that will get published somewhere publicly.
Oh, cool, okay.
So I haven't got good at sort of telling people what it's about. It stars Dan Stevens, Lucy Boynton, and Michael Sheen. And I'm not sure if it can be described as a horror or a thriller. It's sort of somewhere balancing the line, like that line. Essentially, it's about a man who goes to an island to save his sister, who is being held for ransom.
Right.
Or is she?
Oh.
And when he gets to the island, blood is shed.
Oh, my God.
But that's not a spoiler if you know any of Gareth Evans' films.
Yeah. So what was it like working with Gareth Evans? And do you think some of his tricks of the trade from like The Raid and stuff like that have translated into Apostle in any sort of way? Or
definitely the way he works the camera in a scene and knows all the shots that he needs. You can see that he's picking that up and taking that from previous jobs. But just because of the nature of the story, the action in particular is quite different. And I'm very interested to, you know, see what audiences think. I think a lot of people are going to come to watch Apostle because they were fans of The Raid.
Yeah. Well, this sounds very, very different.
It does sound very different.
I'm so intrigued.
So I hope that, you know, they get things that they want to see from a Gareth Evans film, but also they get to see things that they wouldn't have expected and they still really love and enjoy. I do love working with him. He's just the most friendly man. Because the Welsh are the best.
Can you give us any inkling of what your role is?
So the character I play is called Jeremy, and as much as I can tell you is that he is an inhabitant on the island. And
did you shoot any spooks? Because I'm always curious with these sort of movies. Like, how do you shoot a horror scene? Or at least something.
What's the atmosphere on set?
What is the atmosphere? Does the director go, all right, shut the fuck up, big spook happening?
Gareth, our director, Gareth Evans, like I've said before, has shot a lot of sort of gory films. But funny enough, when he's watching it and he's made something that's so realistic, he even gets a bit creeped out. He's like, oh, Bill, watch this thing that we shot. Look at the bone crunching. Like that.
Right.
Gareth, you shot this. You were on set, like, being all fine about it and being like, yeah. And then when he edits it together, he's like,
he's like weirdly squeamish.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool.
So that was, yeah, that was...
I guess if he was numb to it, he wouldn't be able to create those kinds of scenes organically. Like, he sort of has to be grossed out by
it. You have to understand what makes them horrible to, like, shoot them.
Yeah, yeah.
You can always tell, like...
Yeah, that's so interesting.
Like, I always think this is a weird thing to call out, but, like, Tarantino movies, I'm always like, you don't, like... understand that violence is horrible.
Yeah,
because
I get
like
that.
It's so like larger than life.
No,
and, like,
yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, he sort of loves it and celebrates it. And,
yeah, yeah, as a spectacle.
It's like a real exhibit. Issue with films that don't kind of show the negative side of injury. Like if someone's dead or hurt, it's like okay, done.
Yeah,
like, moving on.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas actually, like I always have an issue even in kids' films. Where they don't show any blood or gore, but they still show punching. Because that doesn't show that anything has a repercussion.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, punch there, we're all safe.
It makes everybody feel like a bit, well, not real. Everyone feels like toys.
Definitely.
And when is it out, Bill?
Apostle is out on Netflix on October 12th.
Ooh, spooky just in Halloween. Time for spook Christmas.
I'd be excited to watch it even if you weren't in it. Because he's so...
Me too. I've loved all the directors that I've worked with. But I think Gareth is... the first director I've worked with who's... Oh, and Chris Mellon, but that was obviously 2 days on Dunkirk. But Gareth Evans is the first director I work with whose DVDs I had on my DVD shelf.
Mm. Oh, cool.
That's good shit. Yeah.
So that was like... Yeah. That was particularly exciting for me. And yeah, I would definitely be excited to watch Apostle had I not been fortunate enough to be cast in it.
So that has been the future acting and aspirations episode of Fantastic Adventures with Dean and Bertie. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Bill,
for joining us. Me. I've had a lovely time.
You've been a delight.
You have. Lots of laughs, lots of wisdom. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Could you do the Magneto Sun thing silently for us before you go?
To play us out.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That was absolutely amazing.
You'll just have to take our word for it that you did do it. Thanks for listening, guys.
And that was that. Thank you to Acast, Shotglass Media and producer Paddy for production support. If you enjoyed this podcast, please like and subscribe. We put out a podcast every Monday. Also, if you're feeling a bit typey, why don't you leave us a little review, you know, either praises or tear us to pieces, whatever you feel like you want to do. If you'd like to get in touch about any discussion topics, tweet us at Dean Dobbs or Bertie Gilbert. Just type in the names, you'll find us. We got display pictures with our beautiful face on it. But yeah, if you'd like us to talk about a particular movie scene or a video game or a TV show, whatever, like just hit us with it. We look forward to hearing from you. Take care. Stay hydrated.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.